AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number three, our third and final, not only on this Thursday, but our final hour of the week. We're off tomorrow. Like all of you, it's a holiday weekend. It's America's birthday. It is the 4th of July. We'll be kind of in that mind frame here throughout most of this third and final hour. We'll talk America's pastime ahead of America's birthday. We have a full slate Friday, but still plenty of games on this Thursday around the Major League Baseball diamond to break down from the brilliant baseball mind of one Donnie Wrightside. And we'll also talk some hot dogs to start off this third and final hour. We had the reigning Mustard Belt champion at the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest, Patrick Bertoletti, on the show yesterday, who took advantage in the absence of Joey Jaws Chestnut. Of course, a big story, Chestnut not there on the corner of Surf and Stillwell on Coney Island a year ago. But Chestnut, the GOAT, is set to return. We'll break down the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest here to start off hour number three, and some NBA headlines this offseason with Brian Fonseca later on to round out the show.
Just own the night like the 4th of July. Like, I think that's what the people wanted out there. Getting ready for the fireworks tomorrow on July 4th and a complete Major League Baseball schedule tomorrow. I will certainly be enjoying that, but also, like, it's un-American if you don't have a glizzy tomorrow, Ben, isn't it? Like, you have to watch the competition, and then again, maybe you enter in a competition, but you must have at least one. And by the way, man, a fresh potato roll bun, good hot dog on there, some sauerkraut, some relish, some spicy mustard. Like, man, a good hot dog is really, really good. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking forward to that tomorrow. Definitely having myself at least one glizzy tomorrow.
No doubt about it, man. You got to have a hot dog on the 4th of July or you are not doing things right. Yeah. We hope you are enjoying it in a backyard for a barbecue with friends, family, maybe buy some water, a pool, a beach, whatever it might be to enjoy the warm weather on the 4th of July. DRS, there's always the conversation, right? When we talk about the hot dog eating contest and you have your friends like, I could do that. I could put down 30 dogs. Yeah. I could put down 30 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes. Or, heck, I could probably do 5, 10, something of the sort. So we wanted to ask the people, just how many hot dogs do you think you could eat in the 10-minute span that the hot dog eating contest takes place within? That was the question to you all in Fade the Public. And we wanted to make it rather simple. Do you think that you would be able to eat 10 hot dogs in 10 minutes? It's 10 minutes at the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. That is your allotted time here as well. It's a dog a minute. It doesn't sound all that challenging. So what do the people think? Actually, really proud of the public for being honest with themselves. More than 71% saying no. No chance would I be able to eat 10 hot dogs in 10 minutes, or perhaps I'm sure a part of that 71.5% DRS saying, I don't even want to try to eat 10 hot dogs in 10 minutes. I voted no. I know my limitations. I want to enjoy my food thoroughly as well. Which way did DRS vote in the Fade the Public poll?
Yeah, I voted no as well, because sometimes you have to, because I've never tried it before, but like you try to visualize like the 10 hot dogs, 10 buns in front of you, and they say, I probably could do that, but in 10 minutes? Now, understand this too. Like your body has like a reflex function where it's like, you ever been really hungry and you just eat and eat and eat and eat, and all of a sudden your body catches up and go, whoa, 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 whoa. How much are you going to eat here at this point now? So I understand. And also the metric of the game we're playing, if you understand this, like if they said, hey, Ben, 10 hot dogs in 10 minutes, $5 million cash, we would all be able to do it, because you would just be like, I don't care what happens to me, but in the next 10 minutes, these hot dogs are going to be eaten. But if you just say, hey, backyard, let's do this for fun. Whoa, that's a lot of hot dogs in 10 minutes. 10 for the day? Yes, you can do that. 3 for breakfast, 3 for lunch, 4 for dinner. And say, you know what? I've had some time to digest and I'm hungry again. But 10 in 10 minutes is crazy, because I know people can knock down 2, 3, and 4. But then once you get to like number 5 and you start to get a little bit tired, it's like, I don't know about eating hot dogs. Like, other, like eat a whole pizza, like 8 slices in 10 minutes. That's even like the 10 minute threshold is hard, because you are just constantly trying to mow that down and you can't take your time. You know what I mean? So for me, I think I could do in 10 minutes, 5 hot dogs, but 10 hot dogs, there's absolutely zero chance at that.
Completely agree. I could probably scarf down 3 in 10 minutes, just like eating a hot dog in the normal way that I would consume a hot dog rather quickly, but then I'd be good, right? And the way that these competitive eaters actually do it, it's not the way that you, nor I, nor anybody consumes a hot dog. They break up the glizzies, they dunk them in water, they dunk all the buns, they stuff their face, they're chewing, they're eating, they're moving, they're doing everything. I don't care if it grosses you out.
Yeah.
You better be watching tomorrow at the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. It is American to start your 4th of July watching a bunch of people, ladies and men, consume as many glizzies as possible.
By the way, and I want to revise this. Yeah. I can eat 5 in 10 minutes, bun and hot dog with a little bit of mustard. I couldn't eat a half of the hot dog if I had to wet that bun and eat it. I wouldn't be able to. The gag reflex would be so strong on dipping a bun in. I'm getting the gag reflex right now. I'm not even eating the hot dog.
Don't think about it. Don't think about it too much.
Like, exactly.
Don't think about it.
Like, if you just had like a beverage that you were drinking, fine. I could do 5.
Come on, man.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, honestly, like, think of the people, like, I don't know how they do that. It's so repulsive at that point. Look at that. What's that, wings? Is that hot dog?
That's the fake one from last week.
Cheeseburger?
That's not even Joey.
That's a cheeseburger. How about the cheeseburger?
I mean, you got to give a trigger warning before you're throwing
look
up these
that.
Images.
Joey
Chestnut, by the way, of course, was not there last year, DRS, but he won the 8 previous hot dog eating contest. He has won 16 of the last 17 mustard belts. He is the GOAT for a reason. But do not forget about Mickey Sudo on the other side in the women's competition. She has won 10 straight that she competed in. The only year that she has not won it was in 2021 when she was pregnant, giving birth to her child. She is the absolute GOAT in terms of dominance in the women's hot dog eating contest. And last year on Coney Island, set a women's record with 51. Joey Chestnut set the record back in 2021 with 76. And DRS, it was great having Pat Bertoletti, the reigning champ, on the show yesterday. But he told us in so many words, it's nice being the reigning champ for a few more hours, because Chestnut is back. He is minus 1,800 versus the field. You see minus 1,350 there, courtesy of our friends at the Canadian FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, backing it up there, minus 1,350, a heavy favorite. And again, the gag reflux there. Like, you have to complete it and not, like, you know, give it all back at the end, if you will, at this point, which is part of the reason they eat so many hot dogs. And also understand this, though. Like, Patrick was talking about us yesterday, like, rightfully so. Like,
yeah.
Hey, man, we eat all those hot dogs, and then it's really tough for the next day and a half. Indigestion, and you ain't leaving the house and all that stuff. Like, that's the thing we don't worry. And also, being a competitive eater, like, you have to build up to it. It's not like, hey, you know what? Took the last month off, didn't eat all that much. Like, you have to probably eat tons of hot dogs and tons of food to stretch the stomach out all month long. So it's like, man, what type of training regimen is that? And can you, like, hey, meet me at the bar, go out with my friends? Like, man, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that, man. So I'm in training mode, people.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Also, great work with the grill rolls today and all of the images that we saw. Joey Chestnut stuffing his face. An old-timey Coney Island and a look at Nathan's Famous. Doesn't get better than that here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
On the 4th of July in the greater New York City area, out on Coney Island, the corner of Surf and Stillwell, of course, that is the Nathan's Famous hot dog eating contest. Corny also Island. On the 4th of Coney Island, don't call it. Listen, yeah, Coney Island takes a lot of
shots fun. Now.
It's a great place. It is a wonderful place
now, why does it
filled
take
with
flack?
Happiness.
Why does it take a lot of flack? Explain yourself, Ben. Huh? Why?
It's not the greatest beach in the world, right? And there's a lot of crazy things you see with your very own two eyes there.
Now, what do you see
on Coney Island?
Now, what are you telling me you see? I don't know. I've never been to Coney. Like, what do you see at Coney Island? What are you talking about?
Just
here?
You just see some interesting
game?
Folk.
You know what I mean? What do we got?
Yeah, I mean, they're out there shaking and doing things, and it's not the greatest beach in the world, but it's still a great time. And I love walking around the boardwalk. You can bring beers with you as you walk down the boardwalk. I recommend everybody go to. I've been on the Cyclone, and I've been to a Cyclones
game. I've been to
Coney
Island.
Brooklyn Cyclones, the single A affiliate of the New York Mets. Great stadium. You can get a baseball bat.
You've been to the aquarium?
Beer. I'm not going to do that hand motion I just did. What?
Have you ever been to the aquarium on Coney Island?
No, I've never been to the aquarium, but I know it's a draw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's big
you're,
time.
You're
big
are you
time
an aquarium guy?
Let's go back to, I think I'm going to say spring of 1998, yeah. I think I was there. Yeah. How about that?
1998, the Coney Island Aquarium. All right. Let's get back to our actual job. That's talking about sports. And speaking of Coney Island, where the Mets single A affiliate plays, and what we will have on the 4th of July in New York, our second rendition of the Subway Series this year between the Yankees and the Mets. Both teams entering, not playing great baseball, and both teams one final game of their midweek sets. Fourth and final for the Yanks up in Toronto against the Blue Jays. Third and final after playing two yesterday for the Mets against the Brewers at Citi Field, where they will be this weekend. The Mets, despite losing 14 of their last 18 games, still better than the Yankees by a half game, really a full game in that win column, 49-38. The Yanks have now dropped 13 of their last 19. They no longer are in the lead by themselves in the American League East. DRS, neither team playing well at the tail end of June. How do you feel about where these two teams stand at the moment?
Okay, I feel okay about it. Am I in love with where they've been? No, because quite frankly, both of them look like they were in a position to maybe run away with their divisions and gotten caught and surpassed at this point. And the AL East is ultra competitive. The NL East is the Philadelphia Phillies and the New York Mets going toe-to-toe the rest of the summer. But you have so many different teams now. And quite frankly, like the AL East, it's like, okay, it's up for grabs. And the Orioles are not even like an afterthought in that division. It's kind of crazy. But playing good baseball now, Toronto, playing good baseball, like Tampa, even Boston is starting to wake up. Say, hey guys, we might be at 500 sooner than later. But for me, it's expectations that were not exceeded because they would be if the Yanks had a 5-game lead, or that's to say the Mets had a 5-game lead. They're right where we probably thought they would be in the mix here, but where we were to where we are now, you get sort of a downgrade on both of these teams right now. That's all. But they're playing decent baseball.
There's no doubt
that's
about
all you can
it.
Ask for. Yeah.
Yeah, New York 2 games back of Philadelphia for the top spot in the National League East. The Yanks have lost all 3 games so far this week against the Blue Jays, and because of that, have squandered their lead in the American League East. When you look at those divisions, the Yanks still the favorites at minus 155. The Phils a minus 240 price, and the Mets back at plus 185. We are past the midway point of this season, but still a ton of baseball to play. 48 and 38 for the Yankees. That's 86 games out of 162. The Mets, 87 out of 162. A lot of ground to be made up the remainder of this year. And still the overall outlook, DRS. The Yanks are still the favorites. Co-favorites now, though, to win the American League pennant at plus 280 alongside the Detroit Tigers. And even with the Mets' struggles, they still have that fourth-best price around the NL at plus 650, only a half buck back of the Chicago Cubs. Before we get to the Subway Series in Queens this weekend, the first one, by the way, at Yankee Stadium, the Mets dropped 2 of 3 against the Yanks, the Pinstripes winning that with home field advantage. One final game for both of these teams today as a part of our Thursday slate to end out their midweek sets. We start in Queens, where the Mets will play host to the Milwaukee Brewers. A doubleheader yesterday. The Mets got beat bad in the opener. 14th loss in the last 17 games. They responded in a big way against Jacob Mizorowski and Milwaukee in the final game of the night. So the Mets tonight, DRS, as we look at it, home favorite, minus 162 against the Brew Crew, over under at 8. A quick 3-game series with the doubleheader yesterday. Who takes the rubber match?
There's no excuses here for the New York Mets not to win this baseball game, because you're just looking at pure analytics. You got 19 pitchers on the card today with a minimum of 10 innings pitched over the past 45 days. You know who's dead last in xFIP? It's Jose Quintana on the mound. It's a 137 xFIP minus, which again, 100 is the baseline. Below that is good for a pitcher. Anything above that, you're not that good, and he's not that good. An ERA of 4.15 and an xFIP number of 5.55. You should hit just because he's that pitcher on the mound. And why? Because he doesn't strike anybody out, and he's susceptible to left-handed bats, even though you're going to get a lot of right-handed batters, which is the anomaly you have to buy into. Like, what do you trust more? Yeah. A veteran pitcher that doesn't give up hard contact and tries to keep the ball on the ground. But you take a look at his last, because I'm going to bring up just his last, let's just say, 30 days for Quintana against right-handed batters, which would be the focal point, 12% strikeout rate. Walk rate 13%. That means the ball is going to be in play or he's going to get free walks here at 337 weighted on base percentage, which is slightly above average. It's up to the Mets right-handed bats to control this game. Peterson is a better pitcher than Quintana. That is a heavy favorite for a reason. The Mets should win this game, but I always find myself like, it's like, you know, Tyler Anderson for the Angels. Like, how did he get anybody out? Yeah. And how did he go 5 innings pitching, no earned runs? Other than those expectations, trusting the numbers, Quintana should get hit today, and the Mets should be the better team.
Jose Quintana last year, of course, pitching for the New York Mets. Yeah. David Peterson has been one of the guys this year as a part of that starting rotation for New York that has probably exceeded expectation, and that's starting to maybe come down a little bit for New York. Again, the Mets finally a win last night in the nightcap at Citi Field of the doubleheader against the Brew Crew, just their fourth since June 12th. They are hoping now in July to build up some momentum this week, entering that Subway Series at home against the New York Yankees. The Mets will remain in Flushing. The Yankees have to travel from Toronto back to the Big Apple. Will they do so after being swept by the Jays in 4 games? Find out next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Do you know your net worth? Or can you even list all your financial accounts? Believe it or not, most people can't. The problem is simple. When you don't track your finances, you leave hard-earned money on the table by overspending and undersaving. Monarch is the solution. An all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, you can link all your accounts to see a clear, complete picture of your financial health. With data visualizations and AI-driven insights, Monarch helps you spot patterns, cut wasteful spending, and make better financial decisions without ever touching a spreadsheet. Monarch more than pays for itself. In fact, users save over $200 a month on average. That's why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch the best budgeting app of 2025. Get 50% off your first year when you use code GOALS at monarch.com. That's monarch.com, promo code GOALS. Monarch, the modern way to manage money.
A 10-game slate on this Thursday around Major League Baseball. Frankly, a lot of games before we get to a full slate Friday for America's pastime on America's birthday, that being the 4th of July. And everybody wrapping up a midweek set before they find a new destination or remain in the same place for their weekend series over the holiday weekend. DRS, the Yankees are happy to get out of Canada and back to America for the holiday weekend, a Subway Series on deck against the New York Mets at Citi Field. But the Yanks are trying to leave the Great White North with a win. They have lost the first three games of this four-game midweek set against the Blue Jays, and because of it, Toronto is now tied atop the American League East alongside the Pinstripes. Today, New York looking to avoid the sweep. They turn to Clark Schmidt, minus 124, a favored money line price in favor of New York to avoid the four-game sweep. Total 8.5. Is that what is going to occur in Toronto? Will the Yankees at least pick up one win in this four-game set?
It should. By the way, it does feel like a coin flip. And you see the price point there with the Yankees are the favorite, maybe rightfully so. Look at Clark Schmidt here over the past 45 days, a 98 xFIP minus, which is okay. How about a 220 ERA, which you really like that, a higher xFIP number of 4.04. But how about Chris Bassitt? He's got a 100 xFIP minus, which is right average. So it's okay, 98 on one side, 100 on the other, bringing all the ballpark factors in that we like to see. But how about Chris Bassitt's ERA over the past 45 days, Ben? 5.65, xFIP number 4.08. So sometimes getting maybe a little bit unlucky at this point here. And Bassitt going up against a team, Ben Rice should be able to hit. Aaron Judge should be able to hit. You take a look at Jazz Chisholm as well. But when I line up Chris Bassitt, he's okay. So a slight nod to the Yankees. But Clark Schmidt on the mound, look at his last 122 batters that he faced. 115 ISO, 217 weighted on base percentage against. I really like that. But I also told you during this show, boy, those Toronto bats, man, they are really alive at this point right now. And sometimes we talked about the Marlins, which I was wrong on. Hey, ride it out. They lost 2-1 there trying to win another game in that long win streak. Toronto's hot. They're at home. They just have the Yankees number. Maybe you lean on that direction. Slightly better pitching for me on the Yankees side, but how do you just put down a Toronto team that came all the way back, stormed the fort? It's like, hey, or excuse me, had that big lead, but still was able to hold on by a blown save there, a blown hold, I should say, by Devin Williams. Maybe just go with the Toronto Blue Jays today. It's a tough handicap, which is why you see that split right down the middle in the odds price.
12 wins on Canada Day for the Blue Jays on Tuesday. 12 runs, I should say. 11 runs scored yesterday. Toronto, the most overs in Major League Baseball. 57.8% of their games, the highest over percentage in the bigs. All right, let's fly around the rest of this 10-game slate. Mm-hmm. On this Thursday, we go now to the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. The Chicago Cubs and the Cleveland Guardians. DRS, Cleveland hurting right now. They have dropped 6 games in a row, not expected to snap that skid against the Cubbies today. Minus 162, the price in Wrigley. Total stands at 8.5. What do you like today inside the friendly confines?
I believe it's Joey Cantillo, I want to say. I don't think it's Cantillo, the lefty on the mound. He hasn't pitched in a while in Major League Baseball. His last tune-up start in AAA baseball didn't work out in his favor. So I look at this, and I think the Cubs should be able to hit, even though you know me, Ben. I like to take a look at least 45 days, 30 days of some sort of Major League Baseball pitching, 20, 25 innings. He doesn't have that. But I don't think that's a detriment to the Cubs, where it's like, oh, they've never seen this guy, and he's a flamethrower. That's not the case. Cleveland on the other side, going up against Cade Horton, you have a lot of switch hitters in that lineup, and they have hit very well against right-handed pitching. And if you take a look at Horton, he's done not so well against right-handed bats, but there will be many lefties in the lineup. Cleveland stinks right now, but I got to tell you, I see the 8.5 wet Wrigley and the temperatures at 80 degrees and the wind not really blowing in or out, more of a crosswind. You know what? I'm banking on runs in this game. If I don't have two pedigree pitchers in Wrigley and I think those lineups can hit, why can't we get at least both teams approaching 3 to 4 runs apiece? That puts you in that ballpark. Over 9 today in Wrigley for me, even though the Guardians, I don't know what they're doing in 2025.
Chicago looking for the sweep today of Cleveland. Yeah. They have won 5 of their last 7. They get the Cardinals for a second time this year tomorrow at Wrigley Field over the holiday weekend. Fourth and final game, DRS, between other divisional mates from the NL West, the Giants and the D-backs. Arizona taking the first 2 of this series in Phoenix. The Giants winning in extras last night in 10 innings. Who wins the fourth and final game tonight in Arizona?
Yeah, fault's bad. So we just go right against him. And I, you know me, Robbie Ray is having a decent season, even though he's a little bit leaky against right-handed batters. Going to face a ton of them tonight. The 8.5 might be in peril tonight, but I got to tell you, if I just had to pick a side, I'd lean San Francisco. But we might be able to get the 9 runs in this game because the matchups make a lot of sense for both of these hitters.
DRS, Brandon Faulk got off to a great start this year. He's won 8 games, but man, he's been getting shelled here as of late.
Yes.
Gave up 16 earned runs in 5 starts in the month of June. Plenty more around the bigs next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue breaking down this 10-game slate around Major League Baseball on a Thursday entering the holiday weekend and a full Friday slate for 4th of July. DRS, the Mariners, another win last night for Seattle. No home runs out of Big Dumper, but a 3-2 victory for the M's against the Royals. Another team in KC out of the American League Central, struggling as of late. It is why the Tigers, with the best record in the AL, also have a 12.5 game lead atop the AL Central. Tonight in Seattle, it's the Mariners and the Royals once again at -124, that price in favor of the M's. Pretty low total, 7 is now 7.5. What do you like tonight in this Seattle showdown?
Yeah, you always, I mean, it's so hard sometimes in Seattle. You get 2 decent pitchers on the mound. It's like, you know, this game is going to go under. But having said that, though, you look at the, you know, current season statistics as opposed to the last 30 days, they don't change that much for Seattle. Like, some of those bats really show up against right-handed pitching. But understand this, Lugo's last 114 batters that he's faced, Ben, an 061 ISO and a 221 weighted on base percentage and a K rate of 27%. Even though Crawford, Raleigh, Arozarena, Rayleigh, and also Canzone have really good statistics against righties, Lugo's been really good over the past 30 days. Brian Wu, who does struggle with left-handed batters, so you know who we go to in that lineup right away. We'll get to that in a moment. But against right-handed batters on the season and the past 30 days, he's been really good. So the focal point will be like, who can we get down with as a left-handed batter? Vinny Pasquantino in the middle of that lineup. You might even look lower, like Jack Caglione, you know, Rabe and Isbell. They haven't hit right-handed pitching all that well. So it's almost like, okay, if lefties get the best of Brian Wu, the only guy viable in that lineup is Vinny Pasquantino for an RBI. And that's the reason why we're talking about a game at 7 and 7.5. There's not a lot to love on the matchup tonight, which in a ballpark that's hard to score runs in, you take your spots there at a decent RBI from here or there. But to me, again, if that's 7.5, I don't think we get 8 runs tonight. I don't.
A 4-game set, Seattle looking for the series win, taking 3 of 4, KC trying to split. No Cal Raleigh last night in the lineup, by the way, had the day off. He did hit a home run in the opening game of this series against Kansas City. 33 long balls, 4 big dumpers so far this year, still now 2 in front of Aaron Judge, who hit home run number 31 last night as the Yankees were trying to come back. It was that tying 2-run shot in the 8th. A couple of nights prior, Shohei Ohtani home run number 30. Those are the three guys at 30 home runs this year around Major League Baseball. Eugenio Suarez at 26 came, same for the Schwarbaum, Kyle Schwarber there in Philadelphia. All right, DRS, that 8-game win streak for Miami snapped yesterday. It was their longest win streak in 17 years. Can they start a new one today? Early game, just after noon Eastern time in South Florida. The Marlins and the Twins in Miami. Minnesota, an ever so slight favorite at minus 116 on the road. Total now at 8.5. What's the play for some day baseball in South Florida?
It's a shame we had the 2-1 yesterday, sort of took the steam out of the bats here for the Marlins and also the steam out of that win streak. But I got to tell you, like outside of the ballpark, which again, we just started to talk, take a look at Seattle. Boy, T-Mobile, hard to hit home runs and score a lot of runs. Well, you head down to Lone Depot Park in South Florida. It's not a great ballpark either. However, you got two good pitchers that might be able to hold up their end of the bargain on helping you score 8 or more runs. You take a look at David Festa, his last 45 days, a 114 xFIP minus and an ERA, just to be comparable, 7.61. Yuri Perez, you take a look at him, he's 18th out of 19 pitchers on the card with a 131 xFIP minus Ben and a 6.19 ERA over his last 45 days. Guys in the lineup that have really hit right-handed pitching well here for the Minnesota Twins, Buxton, Larnach, Lee, Wallner, and Lewis. And then we flip over to Miami, which you speak, we can't really take too many players there. No. Sanchez, Lopez, Ramirez, and Stowers, all with high weighted on base percentages and ISO power numbers. So even though that ballpark last night only gave up 3 runs, today, both of these pitchers with their xFIP minuses being over 100, it's a pretty good matchup. You just need to get started off early here, right? You don't want to get to the third inning with nobody scored. Give me a run in the first. Give me 2 in the second here, and away you go. We should get an over just based on these pitchers, even if we're pitching in a really good pitcher's ballpark today for both of those guys who are struggling.
Rubber match today, DRS. The Twins lost the first 1-2 zip. That was the 8th consecutive win for the Fish. All 8, by the way, as an underdog, of which they are once again today. Minnesota winning yesterday 2-1. Carlos Correa, what turned out to be the game-winning RBI in the 4th inning. Low scoring so far. The Twins, by the way, 9-18 in June. Lost their first game of July. Won their second, hoping to take the rubber match today in Miami. Let's go to Atlanta now. A little bit later on in the day, it's the Braves and the Angels once again. Bryce Elder gets the nod for Atlanta. They're a minus 152 home money line favorite. Those lines increasing in favor of the Braves at home. Over under stands at 9. East versus West, kind of east, southeast Atlanta. The Braves taking on the Angels today. What do you like?
Yeah, by the way, you take a look at Elder, not a very good pitcher for me. Over his last 45 days, he does have an average xFIP number of a 99 at xFIP minus, but his ERA is 8.25. And by the way, take a look at his equal opportunity guy that gets hit by both lefties and righties. Yeah, that's him. Zach Neto, Noah Chanuel, you take a look at Mike Trout, Taylor Ward, Joe Adell, even Kevin Newman in that lineup, all high weighted on base percentages and ISO power numbers against right-handed pitching. But by the way, like yesterday, you said, I needed over 3.5 for the Angels. They scored 2 runs in the first inning. They ended up with 3 runs. And it wasn't until a Jorge Soler solo shot in the 9th inning to get them that 3rd run. But Jose Soriano, let me just give you a little bit of a piece of what he's doing this season, Ben. 418 batters faced, an ISO against 071. His last 30 days, an ISO against 083. He's been fantastic. What if I told you he's number 2 on the card today with an xFIP minus of 82? Even though his ERA is high at 4.60, his xFIP number brings that back down to a 3.38. A strikeout pitcher and a ground ball pitcher? I don't want to say the wrong team is favored today, but give me the plus 118 price on the Angels. The better pitcher on the mound and a lineup that should be able to hit Elder, why not go for the small upset?
A rubber match today in Atlanta, DRS. The Halos, as you mentioned, did play 2 in the top of the first, a 2 RBI single for Joe Adell. Yeah. They had that 2-0 lead into the 6th. Sean Murphy hit a 3-run shot, and then a couple of batters later with the bases jacked, a grand salami out of Matt Olson. Durickson Profar, first game after serving the 80-game suspension for PEDs. Still some juice. I say that tongue-in-cheek with a solo shot as well in his first game back. At a certain point, DRS, the Braves are going to have to go on a run. They are 39-46. They are 7 games below 500. They have dropped 5 of their last 7. They need to go on a 6-7-8 game win streak to really get back into playoff contention around the National League. The best record in the NL, that would be the LA Dodgers. Looking for the sweep this week of the Chicago White Sox. Historic night in Los Angeles yesterday. Clayton Kershaw pitching into the 6th inning records his 3,000th career strikeout, 20th ever pitcher in MLB history to receive that distinction. And then they rallied in the 9th inning, plating 3 runs and walking it off courtesy of Freddie Freeman and the RBI single to beat the Sox. Close to a $3 favorite price today, DRS in favor of LA, minus 290. Dustin May gets the start. Over under is 9. Will the Dodgers complete the sweep over the White Sox this week?
You're supposed to beat the White Sox. That's why you're going to get these heavy price points here. But also, you don't have a shutdown pitcher. It's not like you're throwing your ace on the mound. It's Dustin May. You take a look at his pitching card today, 16th out of 19 pitchers. Look at his last 45 days. How about a 122 xFIP minus and an ERA, Ben? Close to 5 and an xFIP close to 5 as well. But then you have Aaron Civale on the mound on the opposite side, who's like, hey, get me out of town. And yeah, we'll trade you to the Chicago White Sox. He comes into this game 17th out of 19 pitchers himself here, and he's coming in with a 128 xFIP minus, a better ERA, but an xFIP of 5.19. So you're going to have two of the worst xFIP pitchers on the card today going toe-to-toe. Yeah, should get some runs in this game. We got 9 last night, and luckily doing that with a lot of Dodgers runs in the bottom of the 9th inning. I don't think it takes that long today. I'm trusting both teams' at-bats more than both teams' pitchers. Why don't we get some early fireworks out there in Chavez Ravine?
Really good weekend set begins tomorrow, DRS, on the 4th of July at the Ravine. Dodgers and the Astros, Houston 17-9 in June. They're looking for a sweep. They have the Rockies. They have started a perfect 2-0. LA has won 14 of its last 17. NBA summer headlines with Brian Fonseca next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A few days into the full NBA offseason, since free agency began at 6 p.m. Eastern on Monday night, and there is so much to break down around the association summer. Drama filled with Brian Fonseca, live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Fonseca, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for being here before we get to the 4th of July.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right, so let's break it down, Fonseca. You live here in New York City. I would not call you a Knicks fan, but of course, you cover New York basketball with the best of them. And yesterday, finally, after a long and drawn-out process, the New York Knicks have a new head coach, a familiar name, Mike Brown. that will take over the reins inside Madison Square Garden. Given the context of the dismissal of Tom Thibodeau after New York reached the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 2.5 decades, we all thought that hire made by the Knicks would be big and splashy and can live on the marquee here in the Big Apple. So on a scale of 1 to 10, after they hire Mike Brown, Fonseca, how do you rate the decision?
It's cool. You know, it's nice.
Five.
You know, but it's probably a 7, something like that. Like, I don't know. Oh, okay. And that's the thing. We just don't know. Like, I think Mike Brown's a good coach. I think Tom Thibodeau's a good coach. I'm not sure Mike Brown's a better coach, but the whole point is maybe he's a better coach for this roster. There's no way of knowing that's the case. What I can say about Mike Brown is he is the coach who brought the Sacramento Kings to the playoffs, that miserable franchise, after over 15 years of not getting to the postseason, somehow, some way, turned them into the best offense in the league. Now they had De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis. He had some pieces to work with, and he got the most out of them. And then the next year, they were a pretty good team too, though they didn't make the playoffs. And then he just got fired this past year because they didn't get off to a great start. And then the Kings are the Kings, and despite having the best coach that they've had in a decade and a half, they just let him go. So it was what it was. They also let Mike Malone go, funny enough, before he went to Denver and later won a championship, although he had the best player in the world. This is going to be a very talented team that Mike Brown coaches. I don't know if they go together perfectly, and I'm curious to see how he sort of tries to get the most out of this Knicks roster. But this is the weird situation, guys, and I was saying this yesterday when we did a live stream on the Post channel and on my own YouTube channel at night. He's kind of walking into a situation where he's on the hot seat right away. And you don't see this very often in sports where somebody walks into a job and it's like, yo, you're immediately on the hot seat. Like, if this is sideways by Christmas, like if they're 500 by Christmas, we're going to hear a lot of rumblings, especially in this city of all places.
It's a great segue, Brian, too, because you look at the New York Knicks where it's usually like, yeah, the Knicks are good, but there's 4 or 5 teams ahead of them. We look at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. The New York Knicks are the favorite in the Eastern Conference. So you're right. There is no grace period. Now, tell me what the pluses would be for Mike Brown on this roster, because they clearly think he should be the choice to get them over the hump, which means winning a conference championship and competing for an NBA championship. What can he do better than Tibbs did last year as a positive that Knicks fans can look forward to?
Well, ideally, they want him to be more adaptable to situations, be more malleable, so to speak. I would say Tom Thibodeau is a better version of the coach he was previously, whereas Mike Brown is slightly different because he didn't coach the Kings the same way he coached the Cavs, and obviously the same way he coached the Lakers, but it was impossible coaching that team apparently because that didn't last very long. But at the same time, like, you know, he had his time as an assistant in Golden State. And I do think, for example, Kenny Atkinson benefited from that because look at what happened in Cleveland this past year. Say what you want about the playoffs, and they were a little bit broken down at that point. But look at them going into next season. They're the favorites along with the Knicks in the Eastern Conference. So look at the Kenny Atkinson and Steve Kerr coaching tree, rather. But I think with Mike Brown, it's like, yeah, the adaptability, the willingness to play the young guys. Now, the young guys still have to earn it, but I think that's part of it too, and the willingness to play deeper rotations. I think that's what they're sort of looking for here.
And when you think about Tom Thibodeau, we know the jokes, but they're kind of the reality about how Tibbs constructs his team. You're going to play the starters a ton. It's not going to be the deepest rotation. If you are a bench player, your minutes might dwindle at any given time. They are hoping that Mike Brown is the right fit and frankly the right guy to get them to an NBA Finals, because that's is kind of now the standard that the New York Knicks must occupy, which is an interesting situation when you had not even been to the Eastern Conference Finals in 25 seasons and have not been to the NBA Finals since a year before that in 1999. Now listed as the ever so slight favorites, Fonseca, to win the Eastern Conference, the team with the 8th best price, that would be the Milwaukee Bucks. A 20-1 number. The first big splash in NBA free agency. The acquisition of Miles Turner in the wave and stretch of Damian Lillard in the final $113 million owed to Dame over a next 5-year period. They kind of live in harmony. Those two moves in one. Miles Turner now in Milwaukee. Damian Lillard now a free agent. How stunned were you by this move the Bucks pulled off about 48 hours ago?
It's one of the most insane things I've ever seen in sports. Mm. To wave and stretch $113 million to pay out Damian Lillard, which is going to count 14% of the cap this year down to like 11% of the cap in the final year projections wise, because we'll see what the cap actually is in a few years. But for the rest of the decade, you're going to be paying out north of $22 million in dead money every single season to Damian Lillard, who gets every dollar. And on top of that, he's going to get another deal because he's going to be one of the most sought after free agents now. He should sign a 2-year deal with somebody. I think rehab for a year. If he's able to play in March, okay, cool. But rehab for a year and then go somewhere next year and be a missing piece, so to speak. Maybe he's a rotation guy at that point. Maybe he's not like necessarily the 9-time All-Star that he's been, the 7-time All-NBA guy that he's been. Post-Achilles, he's going to be 35 in a couple weeks. Like, temper your expectations. But this is a crazy, legitimately insane move from the Bucks. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. And on top of that, I think the Giannis trade talks will be done for now. But check back in February and let's see, because if this thing doesn't work out, then we're right back where we started, and all that dead money is going to go on for the rest of the decade. Just nuts. Yep. Nuts move.
DRS, we send you into the holiday weekend, my friend. Have a great time. Fonseca and I continue up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so quickly, one final point here with Brian Fonseca around the NBA summer. We'll take a bigger look at those NBA championship odds in just a matter of moments. I do want to ask you, Fonseca, about Miles Turner, his fit in the front court alongside Giannis Antetokounmpo. You said, for right now, it should quell maybe some of the trade speculation around Giannis. Come back in mid-February if things are not working out. What do you think the ceiling is for the Bucks in 2025-26 with the pairing of Giannis and Miles Turner?
I mean, the odds don't love them right now, which is interesting. Right. I probably like them slightly more than the odds, but I don't love them because they're essentially running it back and then putting in place Miles Turner for Brook Lopez. Miles Turner at this stage, maybe he's a supercharged Brook Lopez because he's younger, because he's better defensively, although I think it's fair, the criticisms that he's gotten in terms of not being defensively what he was a few years ago. He was a Defensive Player of the Year candidate 5 or 6 years ago, and he's not really that guy right now. Still a good defender, but not really that same guy. He'll be very good next to Giannis defensively, though. I have a good feeling about that. But we'll see. I mean, I do think the Bucks are frisky. I still think they need to do something else, and maybe they will, because, I mean, they kind of have to at this point. But looking at the East, you can't count them out totally. They're not better than the Knicks. They're not better than the Cavs. They're not better than the Magic. I like the Hawks more too. And I think you could even talk about like this iteration of the Celtics or whatever, but I probably wouldn't. I would put the Bucks right there in that 5 spot maybe. But that's not to say they're going to be 5th entering, you know, the actual playoffs, although they were this past year. Like, they could get a higher seed. We'll see how injuries dictate things. But I think they're a good team. And if things break right, they're an if things break right team. Maybe I could see it.
8th best price currently around the Eastern Conference. The team that now has the 4th best odds to win the East, the Atlanta Hawks. A couple of weeks ago, right after the NBA Finals came to a close and Oklahoma City won their first championship at OKC for this Thunder franchise in 17 years. One of the main storylines we discussed, OKC so short compared to the other 29 NBA teams, as you see on the board and in the Eastern Conference, because of those significant injuries to stars, Tyrese Halliburton in Indiana, Jason Tatum in Boston, Darius Garland in Cleveland. So many questions to be answered. We asked Brian Fonseca, if you had to highlight a team with some value perhaps in the Eastern Conference, who would that team be? And Fonseca said the Atlanta Hawks. A few days later, they pull off a three-team trade to acquire Kristaps Porzingis, have a pretty good night in the draft, and then early in free agency, they add Nickeil Alexander-Walker as well. So that very long price, Fonseca, that you mentioned is no longer there. It's now plus 950 for Atlanta, fourth best price in the Eastern Conference. So Fonseca, I ask you, what did you know about the Hawks that we were all a little bit late to?
You could sort of look at a couple of things. One, I did hear that they would actually not trade Trae Young, which was out there, but also that, you know, they were kind of looking around at some things. I didn't know they'd wind up with Porzingis. I didn't know that they'd wind up making some of the moves that they've since made. But it did have the feel of, oh, this is going to be an ambitious front office. And for me, when it comes to projecting, predicting, betting, and things of that nature, I like looking at, okay, for futures especially, what front office do I expect to be aggressive? Because you have to look at these things. And Atlanta was one of those where you look at them and it's like, they're not trading Trae, so that means they're going to build around Trae and they're going to try to do it now because they kind of have to, because there's an extension question there and what's going to happen in terms of their future. Like, if you just put all the puzzle pieces together and then also just maybe some minor intel on, like, yeah, they're probably going to do some things. It just felt like the Hawks were at a good number there. And now, I wouldn't play the number at 950, but I do think they're another if it breaks right team. But I think this is the best team that they've had with Trae Young. I think this is better than the team that they had that went to the Eastern Conference Finals to play the Milwaukee Bucks several years ago. That's not to say that they're absolutely going to outlast that team in terms of how far they go. Because contextually, look at the injuries that year. Look at how the East played out. It was a weird year. This is projected to be a weird year too. But in terms of what they could do defensively, if Jalen Johnson could stay healthy, if we'll see what happens with Onyeka Okongwu, I think they had a good first round pick, number one overall pick last year. Like, they're turning in the right direction. So I'm optimistic about what the Hawks can do in terms of winning at least the playoff series this year. But we'll see.
Brian Fonseca, we thank you as always. Have a great holiday weekend. Same to all of you. We'll talk to you on Monday on the Urbana.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.